Emperor Tales of the Frozen South by CWB and read by Ghosts of Nuggets Past. Chapter 32.
Hayade!
Farewell. It is the most fleeting night of Sherlock's life. He and John pass it together with their backs to the eastern horizon. The sun will rise and bring with it their separation, but they don't have to watch for it, so they don't. The wind is mild. The moon is low and bright in a crystalline sky, and if Sherlock were to wish for the perfect canopy under which to say goodbye to John, he would wish for nothing different. This way, he can see John's sweet face clearly and memorize every single feather, every shift in the shade of his coloring, every nuance of John's eyes that make them uniquely his own. He touches John's cheeks and neck and chest and memorizes the gentle slopes and curves of his precious body. John does the same, staring at Sherlock, studying him, and Sherlock wishes John didn't look so desperate, like he may never see Sherlock again, but he knows he wears the exact same expression. So he bends his thoughts toward the difference between until next time and never, and then on the difference between soon and distant.
"Do you know where you're going?"
John asks him, running his wings down between the undersides of Sherlock's and his body.
"No, Mycroft would know. He knows everything."
"The council is on the shelf, though, isn't it?"
"It is, but the shelf is enormous. It's more than 20 times the size of Pobeda, and it can only be accessed by certain places along the coast where the slope is lower, and we can climb it."
"But Mycroft knows how to get there, and once you're there, he knows where the colony is?"
"I imagine so. If he didn't know a few hours ago, he does now."
"Which colony houses the High Council?"
"The Runanga. The entire colony is organized around the High Council. The council members are recruited from across the continent and its territories, but if you are Hatsurumnanga, chances are great you'll spend your life in legislative support work. Most of our kind's messengers, mediators, and tohungas are Runanga."
John nuzzles Sherlock's bill and presses the top of his head to Sherlock's neck. His voice is muffled, but Sherlock can hear him clearly enough.
"Go quickly. Don't explore. Just get there."
"I will, John. As fast as I can, I will be single-minded in my efforts to arrive there as quickly as possible, impart the necessary information, and return home."
"And be safe. It's just the two of you. You won't have the protection of a swimming pack."
"I know. I'll be as safe as I can. Sleep on floors, of course. The sun is coming up.
Sherlock feels filled up, overflowing with tenderness for John. Each touch is a gentle kiss, a love poem, a promise. Neither have the emotional energy for more than these soft caresses and whispered requests to not let go. Not now, not ever. John turns his face to the side and sighs. Sherlock knows he has seen what Sherlock heard only a moment ago. They're coming.
"Sherlock, it's almost time."
"Yes."
"Sherlock, there won't be time when they get here. I love you so much. You know that, right? How much I love you."
"Yes, you love me as much as I love you. And
Shh, it's okay. Don't cry. It's a tremendous amount of love, how much I love you. And one of the reasons I love you so much is that you're smart and brave and good."
"I'm not those things, John. That's you."
"No, you are. You are those things."
John is speaking urgently now. He's gone up on his toes with his wings pressed to Sherlock's shoulders in order to better see Sherlock and make sure Sherlock sees him.
"You're smart and brave and good, and that's how I know that you can do this and do it well, and that you'll come home soon. You remember that. Your father wouldn't send you on this journey if he didn't think you could do it.
There's only hard because we want to be together, and we won't be. It's not hard because you can't do it. Do you understand?
John radiates sincerity. His entire body shouts, Sherlock, I mean this. This is true. Take this with you.
I understand. If I'm half as brave and good as you, John, I'll be okay.
John shakes his head and smiles.
Ping it.
The group approaches. Seeger, Olive, Mycroft, Huddy, and Erebus, each so quiet, so somber.
John, I love you so much. Don't forget, I love you. I know you do. I won't forget. Every night, find the constellation Carina in the sky. Look for the brightest star, all the way at the top. That's Atutai. Atutai? Korora and Ika's father. If anyone would be watching out for us, he will be. Every night we'll look to Atutai and we'll be together.
John nods and leans in to kiss Sherlock one more time, and then they are out of time. Huddy approaches and waits until John steps back, then holds up the pouch he has fashioned around the tooth. Sherlock turns and ducks his head down so she can fasten it around his neck. She pulls a seaweed length snug around his neck, the tooth resting over his heart, and secures them in several tight knots. He reaches up to tap at the bundle resting on his chest. It feels solid, much bigger than the tooth, wrapped as it is in sturdy Hemantothallus grandifolius leaves. This is the same plant, he thinks, as the one that tooth was wrapped in when he found it. Huddy has selected well. All eyes are on him as he turns around again. No one says a word. John steps closer and slips the tip of his wing underneath Sherlock's. He feels caught in a daze, everyone standing still, not speaking, just looking at him. Then Seeger breaks the trance with a single nod. Olive moves forward. John moves to step away, but she shakes her head and extends her wings to enclose the two of them.
Look at you both, growing up so fast. You are not the children I left, are you now? Sherlock, my son, what you are to undertake was written in the fates before you were even a feather of a thought. Do not doubt that you are up to the task. Find excitement in what is to come, and be present in the details. You could very well be making history. John, you have two families now. You are welcome to swim, eat, and huddle with us at any time. We must stick together, those of us who love Sherlock as much as we do, don't you think?
John gives his feathers the slightest ruffle, and Sherlock knows that he is honored and touched by Olive's words.
Thank you, Elder Olive. I would consider it a privilege.
Oy, none of that elder for me, John, she teases, reaching out to tap his bill. Sherlock, you remember your prophecy?
Yes, Mama. It is to begin.
No, Mama. It already did. The journey began when I understood that the tooth cannot give me what I do not already have. Olive cocks her head and looks at Sherlock again. She nods her head slowly, as if still taking in his words.
Already so wise.
She smiles and kisses Sherlock on the top of his head, once for speed, twice for protection, thrice for grace. When she steps back, Erebus approaches, and like Olive, he addresses both of them.
Remember our studies, Sherlock. You will be safer and hunt more effectively on the outer edge of the eddies. Show Mycroft what you have learned, and work with him, not against him. When you get to the High Council, follow Mycroft's lead. Be honest, no matter what they ask you. Speak in facts, unless they ask for your opinion.
Sherlock has been too caught up in saying everything that needs to be said to John to realize how much he will miss Erebus, but it hits him very clearly now, a sharp pang resonating with Erebus's earnest advice.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Elder Erebus. Thank you for everything you've taught me and how you've helped me, helped us, me and John.
I have done very little, young one. I have complete faith in you. I wish you Godspeed, Sherlock, and I will look eagerly toward the day you come home to us. Erebus bows low, and Sherlock is so moved by the sign of respect, he breaks from John's side and nearly tackles Erebus in a hug. Erebus huffs out a surprised breath and hugs Sherlock back.
I would be there for John, Sherlock, while you are away,
Erebus whispers into his ear. He gives him one last squeeze before stepping away. Sherlock looks down at the ice as Seeger approaches, working hard to school his features into the steady, stalwart mask his father will want to see. He is, therefore, entirely caught off guard when Seeger enfolds him in his broad wings and rocks him back and forth.
My son, my beloved son, do not believe for one instant that it does not pain me to send you away. Do not think I do not understand the depth of your regard for John, or how powerfully you will miss him during your absence. You go by my orders, Sherlock, but also with my blessing, and my promise that no matter what happens, John is family now, and will be treated as such. Godspeed, my son.
Father, I will make you proud. But then Sherlock's voice cracks, and he closes his eyes.
You already have, Thomas, beyond measure. There is no one left to wish him farewell. Mycroft steps to the edge of the shore and looks out toward the horizon, now glowing pink, mauve, orange over the black band of sea.
When you are ready, brother mine.
Sherlock looks at each and every one of these emperors, his friends, his family, his Ipo. He bows down low. He holds the pose until the wave of emotion that threatens to topple him has crested and passed him by. Then he stands, kisses John one more time, and joins Mycroft at the precipice. He does not look back. He takes a deep breath, presses a wing over the tooth to which he is bound, and dives. Notes, Maori translations. Ranunga, noun. Council, tribal council, assembly, board, boardroom. Haere, interjection, goodbye, farewell. Tohunga, noun. Skilled person, chosen expert, priest, healer. A person chosen by the agent of an atua and the tribe as a leader of a particular field because of signs indicating talent for a particular vocation. Tama, son.